Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On this episode, I got a chance to talk to Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson about the Week 1 upset loss to the Washington football team. He gave us his status on his injury and if we will see him next week against the Rams. We talked about the advice he has given to rookies who have stepped up, as well as diving into the mindset that he has adopted through the years for mental toughness. He mentions how different players deal with anxiety and depression in the league, while also giving me an honest assessment on various standout players. Finally, we talk about his Texas roots, his family's conversion to now being Philly fans, and how long he looks to continue playing. This week, we've also added a new segment we're calling Jumping the Gun, where I talk Week 2 picks with my associate producer, Brother Dan. Yes, I said it, Brother Dan. It's time to straight shoot with Gun on One. Good day again, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Gun on One, the podcast. I'm Derek Gunn. Well, the first NFL Sunday is in the books, and what we thought was going to happen for the Philadelphia Eagles turned out to be a complete, and let me emphasize the word again, a complete disaster. The first quarter and a half looked pretty good, but that second half, oh my goodness. The Eagles went into that game already nicked up at key positions, running back, offensive line. And all of a sudden, in the second half, players started dropping like flies. One of the players that they really could have used who did not play in that game is three-time Pro Bowler, one-time first-team All-Pro, one of my favorites in the Eagles locker room, Lane Johnson. Lane, how you doing today? Welcome to Gun on One.
Appreciate you having me.
All right, so let's go to the beginning. So you go out there for pregame warm-ups. You're going through all of the things you need to go through to possibly get ready for a game. Did you honestly think that you had a shot at playing that game Sunday against Washington?
It was a long shot. In a perfect world, we were talking about getting back this week. So, attacking the rehab process, getting through that, and then, you know, wanting to play. You know, I want to be out there with my guys. So that's in store this week.
So how long ago did you have the ankle surgery, and what does the rehab consist of?
I had surgery about 2 weeks ago. A lot of it is, you got to reduce the swelling, likes to swell up in the recovery process. And a lot of it's just getting strength and proprioception, your balance back. And so really that's it. So just getting strength back in it, limiting the pain and should be ready to go.
I think a lot of people don't understand that you played through much of last season with an ankle injury also similar to this, didn't you?
Yeah, so I think last 2 years this has all kind of been leading up to this. So it hadn't really been 100%. I since took the hit in Jacksonville and then the hit last year against the Giants. So kind of been on one leg for some time. So once I get the strength back, I'm ready to be a different player.
So why did you take so long to get this corrected then?
It was something that I was working through. I felt fine going into camp, and then one of those things in the scrimmage where it got nicked up and then had to be cleaned up. So, you know, a lot of it's scar tissue in there from past injuries, but, you know, it's like other guys go through the same process. You got to break through that, rehab it up, get your strength back, and then once that happens, then you'll be ready to go.
I've said it on record many a times, and I'll say it in front of you right here. You are one of the toughest football players mentally and physically that I know. And if Lane Johnson can't get out on the football field, Lane Johnson has to be hurt, man. So now you know you're not going to play this game on Sunday against Washington. And we find out that rookie Jack Driscoll is going to start at right tackle in your place. And Nate Herbig, who only has a few games under his belt, is starting at right guard, and people are going into the game saying, oh, my goodness. Now, knowing you like I know you, now, Jeff Stoutland is one of the best offensive line coaches in the game, but I know you're trying to coach up Jack Driscoll just a little bit before he takes on this task. What are you telling him?
I'm telling both those guys to not think, you know, you get out there, you're trying to make everything perfect. You know, last thing you want to do on the football field is be out there thinking and overthinking things. So I said, man, don't think. I said, you know, our coach likes to say, rely on your training, sink to that process. You don't have to rise to the occasion. And for most part, man, I thought they played pretty well. I mean, there was some stuff you'd like to have back, but for their first start, they stepped up to the plate. And, you know, as far as young guys progressing, these guys just keep climbing.
So when we all find out who's playing on the right side of the offensive line, I'm texting somebody on the field. I said, what's going to happen? And they text me back, run left, throw quick. Neither of which you guys did consistently. What jumped out at you the most in terms of what started out well, but you got away from, and it just kept getting worse after that?
Yeah, I thought we started off well. We had a good tempo, a sense of urgency. We had some deep throws, and then really came out the second half, and I feel like the run game was stagnant. And I guess, you know, you see the last 11 drives, a lot of punts and stuff like that, and really not converting on some of the downs that we needed to. And, you know, when you do that in this league, you're going to lose ball games. So it doesn't matter who you're playing. And, you know, it's really unacceptable from our point of view. And, you know, we're all in this together, and it's been a while since we started the season. I feel like 0-1, but, you know, it's a good punch in the face. And, you know, I think the urgency to get things corrected is very high.
Once Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio figured out what you guys were trying to do, man, they unleashed the hounds. You got Montez Sweat, Deron Payne, Jonathan Allen, that first-round pick Chase Young, Matt Ioannidis, who people know here well. He went to Temple. Man, they just kept bringing the house, and you guys couldn't stop them. I mean, obviously, there was a lot of confusion. You had no Miles Sanders. You know, the whole Pro Bowl right side of your offensive line is gone. Man, there was confusion everywhere, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you go back and look at it, some of the sacks are a timing issue. Maybe somebody's not over. First read isn't open. You know, maybe a missed assignment. So there's a lot of misconception with sacks as far as, you know, guys playing out getting beat. There may have been a couple, but a lot of it, I think, may have been just MAs. You know, had to go back and watch the film. But, you know, from our standpoint, we have a high standard, the offensive line. In order to win games, we have to play better, and that goes for, you know, all the games coming forward too.
Do you think Carson holds the ball a little bit too long? Because a lot of times, you know, they always tell you, throw the ball away and live to play another day.
Yeah, but I think he's so good at extending plays. You know, part of what makes him so good is throwing on the run. You know, a lot of these plays that he's made a name for is throwing on the run and getting out of the pocket when things don't happen. So it's a double-edged sword when it comes to that. But as far as Carson, man, he's going to be the guy that's going to be taking us a long way this year. So, you know, 0-1 is not where we want to be, but as far as having mental fortitude and toughness, we got it.
Hey, man, if he keeps ducking the way he's ducking, he may not have finished out this season, man. Somebody better correct that real quick.
Hey, man, it is what it is. I know going in the week, you know, we got a lot of work to do, especially me. Got to get back, you know, practicing. I need to be practicing with my team, getting healthy. And, man, I just want to be out there with my guys. So that's my main goal.
Can we guarantee 100% that Lane Johnson will be out there against the Rams on Sunday?
I'm going to be out there, D-Gun. I'm going to be out there, so count on it.
We watch players drop like flies, and a couple of times the television cameras were isolating on you, and you had that look on your face like, what the heck is going on around here? Is the momentum shifts, players are dropping like flies, and what are you guys talking about on the sidelines?
Not a whole lot to talk about. I mean, whenever guys come off the field, well, we usually talk about what happened in the previous series. We go over plays. And maybe that look you were seeing, the sun was in my eyes. I got a pretty good sunburn on the sideline. So a lot of this going on yesterday.
So at one point, Jack Driscoll goes down and Jordan Mailata
goes in for him. And you've worked with Jordan for a while. So are you trying to coach up Jordan as well to play on the right side?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know, I tell him, go in there and don't think. You know, a lot of times if a player is coming in, he's new, you have so many guys in their ear trying to tell them this and that, and you're trying to listen to everybody. And it turns out you got a jumbled mind, man. So go out there and play free. Play like you do in practice. And for the most part, I thought Jordan did pretty well. I mean, he's such a big guy, and the more he plays, the better he's going to get. So, yeah, man, yesterday was, you know, throwing rocks at a hornet's nest, stuff going everywhere, you know, people going down, you know, a lot of stuff going around. So next guy up, that's how it's always been. That's how this league is always been.
I'm sitting there going, why doesn't Carson – get rid of the ball quicker, dink and dunk your way down the field? I'm watching the Rams play the Cowboys on Sunday night, and that's exactly what Jared Goff is doing, man. They're dinking and dunking down the field. You guys have the weapons to run that kind of offense.
Yeah, I think moving forward, I mean, ultimately you have to change your game plan. You look at things that do work and doesn't work. I think with us, if we can establish a run game, then we're going to win the game. So, and obviously that starts up front. And we got to get things changed. And, you know, I just want to be a part of it. I want to be back out there with my team and playing with them. So, you know.
So what does the Doug Peterson say to you guys after a game like that?
You know, it's not where we want to be. It wasn't the result that we wanted. But in this league, things move so fast. I mean, there is no time for pity. I mean, yeah, does it suck? Yeah, it sucks. Everybody knows that. But moving forward, how are you going to attack today? How are you going to compete? And how are we going to win this next football game? So that's all that matters. We're trying to make all the wrongs right, and that's our focus.
You know, we in the media and fan base, we glorify quarterback sacks. But in some cases, it's not fair to offensive linemen. You say one guy got a sack against this guy, but yet we overlook the fact that offensive lineman kept this particular guy off a quarterback most of the game. How much does that frustrate you that a lot of times, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times we get more credit to the D lineman than we do the offensive lineman.
It does piss me off. You go look and see Kerrigan's two sacks. I think I know one of them, he wasn't even touched. The other one, I doubt he was touched. So when he has two sacks, and that's all people see on stat sheets when they're voting for accolades. I mean, he's a hell of a player. You go look at some of these other sacks, this and that. It's not all the O-line getting beat. But like you said, I mean, this isn't the blame game, but when you ask the question about sacks, are they misleading? Yeah, they're very misleading, unless you go watch the tape.
Are you the best right tackles in the game today?
When I'm healthy, yes. But when I'm sitting on the sidelines, no, I'm nothing. So I got to go play. That's on my mind.
So when you are considered one of the upper echelon at what you do, take me inside the mind of a right tackle in the NFL. What do you do? What have you done to consistently separate yourself from the average right tackles in the game?
Man, it's really mental torture when it comes to guys on our team that are, you know, guys that are really good in this league. Always something, they tick a little bit different. Kelsey, Peters, Brooks. I mean, we go through a living hell because when you get to a point in your career where you have established yourself, you're expected to not ever get beat, not ever make a mistake. You got to live on a razor's edge. So you really have to draw out all negativity. There's so much negativity online with people. They're going to tell you what to do, what you are, what you're not. And so the main thing is staying in the moment. I think when you go back and watch Jordan talk about that, Kobe Bryant talk about being mindful, being in the moment, not caring about what people say and not really throwing off your focus. So moving forward, my thing is play one snap at a time, getting healthy, fighting through whatever I got to fight through, and really, man, just be there for my teammates. I found out, you know, when you're injured and you're on the sidelines, it's not a good feeling. I want to be out there with my guys battling. That's what I love doing, playing with the guys next to me and up front, and that's where I'm most happy. So get healthy and go give them hell.
What is the key to gaining psychological advantage over your opponent? Because there are times when you can see, when you talk about certain matchups, Lane Johnson against this guy, Lane Johnson against that guy. And when I've talked to offensive linemen in the past, they say, you know, at certain points of a game, when you get inside of their head and you mentally have worn them down, what's your technique in terms of trying to mentally as well as physically wear an opponent down?
I try not to say a whole lot. I mean, I usually don't ever talk any trash unless somebody mouths off to me, but, you know, usually it's been pretty cordial. Really, it's about play after play. I think what a defensive end hates seeing is a guy that doesn't show any emotion, good or bad, if he gets beat or if he get, you know, nothing throws him off, and the guy that just keeps coming with a relentless energy. That's what I find probably to be the most demeaning as far as, you know, guys that I've talked to, players that I look up to. They kind of say you got to be the villain in the horror movie. You got to be the Mike Myers, the guy that's always coming. Is he dead? We don't know. He may be lurking in the shadows. So that's kind of the offensive lineman mentality.
All right. How do you separate the two mentalities of Lane Johnson, upper echelon, Pro Bowl right tackle, and Lane Johnson off the field, family man and friend? How do you separate the two? Because in some players' cases I've talked to, it's difficult.
I can't. Until I'm retired, until you're out of this microscope, you can't. I feel like you're always on. There's never an off switch because you're always getting evaluated. You're always getting compared to what you were, what you're going to be. Are you regressing? Are you progressing? Are you staying stagnant? With all eyes on me all the time, it drives me nuts. So literally every day I'm, you know, working. And that's how guys are on the team. Guys that are good, you know, the Jason Peters, the Kelseys, the Brooks, the Ert, you know, all these guys, the Slays, the Cox, all these guys, they just work relentlessly. And really, that goes around all sports. You see guys that are good or, you know, guys just have an obsession with it. So when you're playing, you know, I think a lot of guys want to say they want to maximize their potential and maximize their time in the league. And so when they look back, they don't really have any regrets. So, you know, looking probably the back half of my career, I want to, you know, go full tilt.
I'm going to get to the back end of your career in just a moment, but getting back to what you're saying in terms of I can't separate the two, in some ways isn't that dangerous? Because we've seen a lot of players in a lot of sports who can't separate the average guy from the professional athlete, and it has cost them in a lot of ways off their playing fields.
Yeah, I think I'll be fine once I'm done playing. It's just it's totally different when you're in the mix. Outside of football in the offseason, I'm normal, but during the season, it's really kill or be killed. Every day you're getting evaluated at practice. There is no time to relax. There's no time to catch your breath. And so, you know, I'm going to fight that fight, you know, the best I can. And that's with energy and that's with passion. So, and whatever happens, happens.
Man, you have been blessed to make a lot of money in the National Football League, and we saw last week that that you restructured your deal so that Jason Peters could get more money to move back to the left side. Why did you decide to do that? Because you didn't have to do it.
I've done it, I think, the past few years. It's really easy for me. It's advantageous to the team, and it doesn't really hurt me a whole lot. So it's a win-win for both parties. So I see nothing wrong with that. And I think you've seen players around the league do it to help the team out.
You know, I look at your career, man, and what a career. You go from this quarterback tight end in a junior college to a tight end in your first few years at Oklahoma. All of a sudden, in 1 year, you become this high-caliber tackle. Do you ever let yourself think, man, look how far I came. Did you ever imagine you would be what you are today, not just as a player, but financially as well?
I never thought I'd be playing offensive tackle. I never dreamed of this. I've always been a skilled player. That's, you know, I grew up playing basketball. I grew up running track, playing baseball. I never thought I'd be playing offensive tackle. But, yeah, the ride has been wild. I know I had a lot of doubts in college where I was, what I was going to be, if I was ever going to make it to the league. It was one of my goals. But once I had the opportunity to play tackle and go to the offensive line, it's been a wild ride. I mean, it's been a lot of ups and downs, been a lot of questions about me, if I can play, or are you just a drug addict? Or, you know, what are you? So, you know, whenever I've had my back pressed against the wall, and I've had it, you know, multiple times, I've always come out on top. I've always proved people wrong. And I've only kept climbing as far as my play and elevating what I can do on the field. I just keep climbing, and I look at guys, you know, vets that have done it before me. I look at the older guys. I study them, guys that have went through some struggles, adversity, and those are the guys that I like to be around. So, you know, it's been a blessing.
You know, as good as you have been, a couple of times you've had to go through suspensions because of PEDs, things like that. And you are first and foremost, I give you a lot of credit because you came to us and said, hey, look, you know, it happened, but I'm moving on. I've learned from it. But does it bother you that some people out there still won't let it go? You know, hey, Lane Johnson is this or Lane Johnson is that because is he still doing this? Is he still doing that?
No, that's fine. I think I've answered a lot of questions because my play has always been consistent. You know, if it's for a drug test, then how am I doing after my drug test? All my accolades have came after two positive tests. Everything that I've achieved has came after two positive tests where I'm in the program. I'm getting tested more than anybody in the league, rightfully so. And what have I done? I go up against the best pass rushers week in and week out with limited really help. I'm really one-on-one a lot like Jason Peters. And so whenever questions need to be answered, you can say drugs all you want. There's been lots of guys take drugs their whole career and not be able to do things that, you know, some of these tackles can do. So it is what it is. It motivates me moving forward. You know, I'm humbled and really that's it. And so that's all I can do.
I know at one point you had a lawsuit against the league, for the second suspension. Is that lawsuit still pending?
Yeah, I think we actually closed on that. So. We could take it a step further, but we're kind of reevaluating that now. I mean, it's really kind of a lost cause, but all that's kind of taken place a few years ago. It's a long process. You set things in motion and in the court system, you find out it plays out a lot longer than you may like.
I was about to ask you, did you win or lose? But it sounds like you lost.
Yeah. So, hey, we fought the good fight and, you know, hey, we came out 0-1. There you go.
Hey, how much has Jason Peters meant to your career? You've been on record saying this time and time again, what he has meant to you and what you would do basically anything for this man because of what he has done for you.
Yeah, I just, I like the player that he is. And more importantly, I like the person that he is. You know, he's a small town guy from Queen City, Texas. I think that's what rings true most, you know, no matter what he's accomplished, he's still that guy from Queen City, Texas. As far as games, man, guys that I admire, I like watching JP. I like watching Trent Williams. Those are really two guys I like to style my play after. Guy that's athletic, a guy that has quickness, balance of body control, and try to play up to, you know, whatever their standards are, whatever they created. So, you know, especially JP, man, it's been fun to be around him all these years.
I know JP has also stood in your way of playing left tackle in the NFL. Do you think you will ever get to play left tackle full-time in the National Football League?
Hey, I'm staying right side pride, baby. We ain't going nowhere. If it's broke, D-Gun, don't fix it. I think in a different scenario, if I went to a system where there was no Hall of Famer, I could have been maybe better than what I was at right tackle or left because I was a better left tackle than I was in college. The times that I've played in the league I'm playing right tackle and then somebody gets hurt and I'm thrown over there with maybe limited reps or not a whole offseason to acclimate to it. So, D-Gun, but we ain't going nowhere. It's right side.
You and I had a great conversation last week about how long you want to play this game. And we've seen in recent years more young players calling it a career early on in their careers. And I'll ask you, how much longer do you want to play this game? I mean, relatively in normal age, you're still a young man, but in football age, you're getting up there.
Yeah, I probably want to finish this contract. So I got 4 years. So put me, 33, 34?
Yeah.
I'll be done. And then I don't know what I'm going to do next. That's a big question for me. So there's a few avenues I could take.
You don't see yourself trying to play beyond that? If you still feel good at 33, 34, is the quality of life much more important to you?
Yeah, I think your pride's going to get in the way. Okay, you can get your accolades, you can get all that, but I tell you what, D-Gun, whenever the off season happens, whenever, you know, it's all dead, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Yeah. And it's just like a lot of these Hall of Famers now, kids don't even know. So all that stuff you have saying in your head, it's all in your head. So it's the thing about the sport. It's beautiful to spend the time with your friends and the people that you're playing with and the guys that you go in day in and day out. That's what matters the most to me, the relationships. And You know, as far as this football thing, I love it. I spent my whole life doing it. And, you know, when it's that time, it's that time.
Each and every year, does it get a little more difficult physically and mentally to get up to where you need to be to compete and combat opponents every year?
It's more mentally taxing just because the standards are there. And, you know, once you play a certain style or play it to a certain caliber, okay, that's your bar. And if that's not met, then, okay, you're not the same player. So a lot of mental torture, a lot of mental games when you mm-hmm. get to this part in your career. So, but hell, I'm 30, man. I'm feeling good besides this ankle. Once this gets mm-hmm. healed up, I've been fine. So I love competing. I love being around my friends and my teammates. And that's really what I look forward most to each day, going to war with these guys.
The most reason why I asked you that is because we look at one of your line mates, Jason Kelce. The last couple of years, he has openly admitted that he has contemplated retiring. Do you talk to him much about that to get a better feel for where you are mentally and physically?
I talk to him all the time. Yeah. I mean, I told him, I said, I'll probably be similar to you. You get to that point. Okay. You've established maybe a little, notoriety, whatever you want there. You got your money. What else you want? Because when all the lights are off and the cameras stop rolling, it's you and your body, and all that pride that may have pushed you forward may become detrimental to you later on. So you got to play it smart and reevaluate yourself every year.
Yeah, because when you look at a lot of ex-players talk about what they're going through physically and mentally now, I mean, it's scary, man. And a lot of players are saying, I wish I called it a career a lot sooner than I did.
Yep. It's because of that pride. Pride pushed you forward. I feel like a lot of guys, man, have anxiety, depression. I don't know. There's a lot of things contribute to that. Health-wise, that goes to the doctors, whatever they want to say, the concussions, this, that. And maybe a lot of guys have devoted their whole life to this and maybe not had anything else to fall back on. So that's another one, too. So, talking to older guys, it's different whenever the game stopped. And I think it takes a little bit of time to kind of find out their other calling. Unless they've done some of that thinking during their career, yeah. Which is what I'm trying to do a little bit, I guess.
Have you ever gone through bouts of anxiety or depression?
I've had anxiety a lot. I mean, at this, when you're playing NFL football, I feel like to a degree, every player has anxiety. Anxiety is what makes you go. It gives you the energy. When it becomes over the top, when it becomes detrimental to you, where it's harming your health, that's not a good thing. But anxiety is like a fire, man. A fire can mm-hmm. can save a human's life, can cook your food. But hey, when that fire gets out of mm-hmm. control, it's not good. So that's the best way I can put it.
So what's your best mental outlet in terms of controlling that anxiety, to clear your mind, to not think about your profession, to get away from it all?
Man, a lot of times, a lot of guys will do breath work. I've seen guys in the military do stuff called box breathing, just stuff to kind of calm their nervous system down. So I try to do that before games. And really, man, not think. I think that's the biggest thing, is that we overthink. Yeah. Is that you get into a game, you want to make every play perfect. You don't ever want to get embarrassed. You don't want to get put on Twitter or Facebook, whatever. You're thinking about all this stuff. And when it comes down to it, you're not being in the moment and you're not executing the play to your best ability. So a lot of it is practicing. Practicing, I guess, mindfulness, which is hard to do when you're living in a Twitter world, you're living in an Instagram, scroll through your phone world, where you have a video that may catch your attention for 5 seconds, and you do that a lot. So it's really about training your mind and getting really training your mind. So
yeah,
I've learned from a lot of vets and guys in different leagues.
I would imagine also one of your biggest outlets has to be, you like to fish and hunt and get away in that regard, right? Is that your escape?
Yeah, I love to fish, probably more than hunting. I love to fish just because you're outdoors, you're on the water, and man, you get a whole lot of clarity out there, I feel.
Now, you had a chance to fish with a guy named Mike Iaconelli, who us fishermen know because we watch him on TV all the time on the Outdoor Channel. And I saw you posting on social media how excited you were. I'm a big Mike Iaconelli fan. What was that like for you to get out there in the water? He's one of the best bass fishermen on the circuit.
Hey, I loved it. I wish I was out there right now.
I know, me too.
He's a guy that's so passionate. He's kind of like the Steve Irwin of bass fishing. I mean, every time I caught a fish, it was like the damn first fish he's ever seen. Crazy. I love it. I love being out there on the water fishing, just, you know, and just having him, man. He's a blast to be around. And, you know, and if you don't catch fish, you can make up some good fishing stories and eat some good food after. So it's all good. But the good thing about it is when you're with that guy, you're going to catch some fish.
Now, every time you watch him, every time he catches a bass, man, he's kissing the bass before he flips it back in the water.
Yeah.
Did he make you kiss the bass?
I kissed the bass, and I think he may have kissed every one.
That's nasty. That's nasty, man. Come on.
Especially coming out that Delaware, man. Hey.
You know, those flip fish glow in the dark in the Delaware, man.
Yeah. Some of them I've seen walking out on the banks and walk back in. They got legs on them. You know?
Hey, man, getting back to football for a moment, I want to mention some names to you. And I want you, and these are guys you've gone up against at times, and I want you to give me your honest assessment. I want you to give me your professional assessment of these guys. All right, first guy up, Von Miller.
Freak athlete, freak bend. He's really a complete package when it comes to being able to stop the run, his energy on each play, and what he can do. So really kind of unparalleled.
Khalil Mack.
He's right up there. He still has some years to go where he gets to that Von Miller kind of category, I would say. But same tool, same type of player, game wrecker, game changer.
All right, this name kind of sends chills up Eagles fans' spines. Ryan Kerrigan.
He's really just a relentless guy. He's a guy with a unique energy every play. And you know, maybe whatever he's regressed in as he's gotten older, he's made up yep. with savviness. And so he's a guy that's going to get his sacks. He's a guy that's going to change the game if you don't stop him.
All right. I saved this guy for last on purpose. DeMarcus Lawrence.
He's a battle for me, man. He got the better of me last year with that sack. But he's a guy that I felt like, when I look at his career, he's kind of a guy similar to me that's always kind of steadily just keeps climbing, kind of low on the radar his first few years. But really, when I turn on the tape, you know, he's gotten bigger from where he was early in his career. I don't know if he's around 250, 255 to where he is now, around 270. A guy who's very good in the run game and you know what he can do in the pass game with his cross chop. And as far as his motor and his demeanor, that's probably the biggest thing that I've noticed change in his career is how much more violent he's become.
Do you hate DeMarcus Lawrence as much as we hate DeMarcus Lawrence?
Hey, I don't hate him. I respect him, but I hate him on Sundays. I hate him on game days.
All right. Now, you know, we've talked enough football. Before I let you go, I want to talk to you about something other. Your second career now, which is you've become a so-called media person, so to speak. On your IG account, you have a show called Outside the Lane. Tell me how that all came about. How did that start?
Well, this pandemic came on, D-Gun, and there wasn't a whole lot to do. You know, you had the few shows on Netflix. I maxed out The Tiger King. May have watched a few episodes of Yellowstone, and a marketing guy, Brian, he hit me up and said, "Hey, man, would you mind doing an IG live show?" And I was like, "Man, I don't want to have time for this." And, man, after the first episode, I was like, "This is pretty cool." I got to start off with Lil Dicky and then just progress to different guys maybe that I've always wanted to talk to or have a conversation with. So it's been fun. It's been a whole new world for me. But, yeah, it's something that, you know, I'm steadily going to have to get better at. But it's been fun talking to these guys and getting inside these guys' minds.
So who does your prep work for you in terms of coming up with questions and stuff like that?
Brian Bratke, who runs B2 Enterprises Marketing. He's the mastermind behind everything I do. So he comes up with a good game plan. And it's really progressed, man. It's been a lot of fun. I enjoy doing it. I really do enjoy doing it.
So what's it like being on the other side of the microphone, being the interviewer instead of the interviewee?
I feel like it has to be a lot of give and take as far as the conversation. Yep. I don't want to be overly dominant, and I don't want him to, you know, you want the viewer to be engaging. So if you can't get those answers early, you may have to, you know, dig your way into it. So I think it's really a flow thing, how you feel, and you can kind of tell early on, you know, what it's going to be and what you may have to adapt to.
Ah, so you have a lot more respect for what D-Gun has to go through now, don't you?
Yeah, hey, when you're on a hot mic and you're live and you got to make, you know, sound professional and educated and keep fans engaged, it's a lot harder than what it seems.
I know a lot of athletes, and I understand why. A lot of athletes don't trust media people, and I get it why. They always think that the media is trying to dig up stories on them. The media is always misquoting them, so on and so forth. But I want you to give me your honest assessment of you as an interviewer.
I could be a lot more planned. I mean, I have all these notes, but really I look at it, but I just I try to go with the flow. So my biggest knocks is my setup is terrible. My IG, you know, I need to have a good background. I need to have maybe a jerseys hanging or something. So the background was absolutely terrible. There's been times where I've sounded a little bit too country. My accent's been real bad. I've noticed that. Some ums and ahs. Some of that I'd like to have back, and maybe I'd like to get better with my vocabulary, D-Gun.
Yeah, but you know what, though? That country accent could play to your advantage, though.
It could, but I think I would like to sound maybe more educated than what I may be. I would like to put on a good presentation that I'm smarter than what I am.
Yeah. Hey, I know you come from Texas. Have you converted your entire family to Eagles fans yet? I know a couple of years ago, I won't repeat it exactly, but you told your grandmother to go sit down somewhere because she was a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, my grandmother, rest in peace. She was watching, I think, the Packers Dallas game, and she kept rooting for it. Every time Dallas would make a play, she'd start rooting. And I said what I said, and to be honest, I don't take any of it back. So they're all, everybody is fully converted.
Man, you are wild, man. Hey, Lane Johnson, I can't thank you enough, man. One of my favorite guys in all the locker room. A man of his word, always upfront and honest, never pulls a punch. I appreciate you coming on Gun on One today. And everybody out there, don't forget, not only watch Lane each and every Sunday battle for the Philadelphia Eagles, but check out his IG account, Outside the Lane. It is informative, it's entertaining, and it's humorous as well. I appreciate you, my brother, coming on Gun on One.
Hey, appreciate you having me. Always.
So that was three-time Pro Bowl and one-time first-team All-Pro Lane Johnson joining us on Gun on One. Now we're going to transition into a new segment we're going to try each and every week. We're going to call this segment Jumping the Gun. This was at the suggestion of my Gun on One producers, Elvin Shabazian and Wes Pendleton. And what we're going to do is we're going to look ahead to games coming up the next week in the NFL. And we're going to pick who we think are going to win the game. But I'm not going to do it just myself. I'm bringing in somebody I've known since they were old, peeing in their diapers. He's 23 years old now. We refer to him as Brother Dan. He is associate producer here on Gun on One. And I'm told that he is still in the witness protection program, so his whereabouts are unknown. But we welcome in Brother Dan. Brother Dan, are you out there somewhere?
I'm here, Deacon. Good to see you.
Good to see you, man. I've known you a long time. My wife and I have known you since you were a little tyke. We consider you family. But now you might be stepping out of your boundaries. You think you can pick football games as well as I can. You might think you're better than me at this. Is that correct?
Oh, we'll see about that.
Well, I just want you to know on record that if you do embarrass me this season, that you are fired after the inaugural season of Gun on One.
You
I just want you to know that.
Again,
you know, I got love for you, but this, you know, friends are friends, but business is business.
Oh, it's all good. I understand.
All right, let's get right into it. What's the first game you want to talk about?
So first game we got coming up this Thursday is the Bengals at the Browns. The Browns are currently sitting at a 6-point favorite in Cleveland.
Okay, Browns, 6-point favorite. Let's see. Cincinnati, let's see. Last Sunday, Joe Burrow, rookie, did what a rookie was supposed to do. Made some mistakes. Didn't have any time, really, to get ready for the real NFL season. No mini camps, no OTAs, no preseason games. And now they're playing the in-state rivals. I'm going to take the Browns 6.5. They have the more established team, more established quarterback in Baker Mayfield. They're loaded with talent on both sides of the football. They should win this game easily.
Yeah, I don't think you can expect any more from Joe Burrow than what he did yesterday. 190 yards, almost leading them to a game-winning drive. But, of course, with the offense pass interference called on AJ Green
yeah.
and the missed field goal, they ended up with the loss against the Chargers. I definitely think the Browns are the safer pick. So I agree. I'm going to go with the Browns on this one, too.
Okay.
Next, we got our own Philadelphia Eagles coming off of the loss to the Washington football team, as they're called now. They'll be hosting the Rams. They are currently the 2.5-point favorite at home, the Philadelphia Eagles are. How do you feel about that?
Wait a minute. The Eagles are favored by 2.5 at home?
The Eagles are getting 2.5.
They lost to a JV football team, got embarrassed. Let this JV football team run off 27 unanswered points, and the Eagles are going home for their home opener and facing Aaron Donald and the Rams after what the Rams did to Dallas. Woo! I don't know. Right now, if I'm Aaron Donald, I'm saying, hey, did you see what Washington's front just did to the Eagles' offensive line? Now, we're assuming Lane Johnson, who told us on this podcast that he's coming back. I don't know if it's going to be enough, but that man Aaron Donald, that's a bad man across the trenches. I don't know. I'm favoring the Rams in this one.
I'm definitely leaning with the Rams on this one too, which probably means the Eagles will end up winning because that's just how they work. If I had to pick one, I'd probably say the Rams as well.
Okay, next game.
Next game, we got the Giants and the Bears, and we haven't seen the Giants yet this year. They're playing tonight. This podcast is being recorded on a Monday, so yep. They'll be playing tonight against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we have the Giants at the Bears coming off of their comeback win in Detroit, and Trubisky showing out, pulling them from down, I believe, 17 in the fourth quarter. The Bears are sitting at 5.5-point favorites in Chicago. How do you feel?
Well, first of all, the Bears got lucky and won that game in Detroit. If DeAndre Swift doesn't drop that pass, the Bears don't win that game. So the Bears are going home. Trubisky, I'm not a big Trubisky fan. You know what? I think Nick Foles is going to be quarterbacking that team before it's all said and done. But because the Bears are at home, and I don't know what the Giants are, you know, new head coach and Joe Judge, Daniel Jones, second year, but he's getting used to a new offense. Jason Garrett's the offensive coordinator. I'm going to lean towards the Bears in this one.
I think I'm probably leaning towards the Bears, but for the sake of making it interesting, I'm going to go with the Giants. I think Saquon's coming off of that injury plagued season last year. He killed me in fantasy last year, so we're hoping to see something better from him this year. So I think he can carry them. Plus, they have more of an emphasis on their defense this year. So hopefully the Giants can pull one out for me this coming week.
Look, brother Daniel trying to show me up. Okay, let's go to the next game.
Next game, we got the Falcons at the Cowboys. The Falcons coming off of their home loss to the Seattle Seahawks, and the Cowboys are going to be coming off of their Los Angeles Rams loss in LA, but they're going to be opening at home this coming Sunday.
I think the Cowboys got jobbed on that pass interference call on Michael Gallup. I mean, come on, man. You got two guys fighting for the ball downfield. They let a lot of stuff go that's more obvious than what would happen to Dallas. Now, Dallas is going to come home. They're ticked off. Falcons, I know Matty Ice can win a big game. I know he has Julio Jones, but Dallas at home is stinging right now. I'm leaning towards the Cowboys right now.
I'm also leaning toward the Cowboys. The Cowboys are getting 6 points.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the 6 points on this. I think Atlanta is just hard for me to trust in right now. I'm not necessarily sure what Dan Quinn has been doing since the Super Bowl. So I'm also going to go with the Cowboys on this one.
All right, we're in agreement here. All right, who's on the slate next?
So next we have the Detroit Lions visiting the Packers. The Lions are second of back-to-back in-division rivals. So we're going to get the Lions, who just lost to the Bears, visiting the Packers, who are getting 6 points.
You know who I'm picking. You don't need to ask me. I'm from the great state of Wisconsin. I bled green and gold most of my life, all my life, man. You see what A-Rod did to Minnesota's defense on the road? You imagine what he's going to do to Detroit's defense at Lambeau Field? Yes, I'm taking the Packers in a 6-point.
I'm with you on that one. Aaron Rodgers is angry. They instead of giving him some help, they drafted his future
replacement.
Yeah, his future replacement. I'm going with the Packers on this one.
All right.
So next we have the Jaguars, who just upset the Colts yesterday at the Titans. and the Titans are getting 9.5 points. We haven't seen the Titans play yet, so we don't really know what we're going to see from them.
I don't need to see the Titans play. I know what their defense is like. How in the world did the Jaguars beat the Colts? I have no idea. But you're saying the Jaguars are now going into Tennessee for this game?
They're going into Tennessee.
They ain't got a prayer. And I'm so bold, I'm going to say that 9.5 or 9 points?
9.5.
I'm taking Tennessee in a 9.5. Lock it. Lock it in.
Lock it in. So I'm going to take the Titans. I don't know if I trust their offense enough to lock in 10 points. But I'm also agreeing with you. I'm taking the Titans on this one. Derrick Henry is too much to handle. We'll see how good Ryan Tannehill is coming off of that big contract extension.
Yep.
So we'll see. We'll know more about that after tonight. But I agree. I think the Titans are going to take this one.
Okay.
We have the Minnesota Vikings going to Indianapolis. The Colts are surprisingly getting 3 points on this after the Jaguars just took them out yesterday. So I think we may see the line move a little bit there. But
ooh.
But the Colts are getting 3 points at home against the Vikings.
So let's see. The Colts and the Vikings were both favored in their season opening games.
Yes.
And they both lost.
Yes.
So now the Colts have this one at home.
Yes.
I think the Vikings have too much talent. I think they're going to go in there. I think it's going to be a good game. Phillip Rivers, Kirk Cousins. I think it's going to be a good game. I'm going to take the road team in this one.
I agree. I think the Vikings are going to take this one. I trust their defense. The Colts do have a much improved defense over the last few years. I don't know if I trust Phillip Rivers anymore as much as I used to. That last year in Los Angeles for the Chargers, ton of interceptions.
Yep.
Gotta take care of the ball a little bit better than that. So I think I'm going with the Vikings on this one as well.
Okay.
So the underdog, taking the underdog there. Next we have the Bills, who are the 4.5 point favorite in Miami against the Dolphins.
Ooh, now this is going to be a good one. Two teams that like to play rugged football. The Bills are the more established team. And as a matter of fact, I'm picking Buffalo to win the AFC East this year. I think it's Sean McDermott's time to win the AFC East. Buffalo going down to Miami. Hot, sweaty Miami for this game. Wow. I like the Bills. I like the Bills on the road in this game.
I agree. I like the Bills, too. I bring in Stephon Diggs. Adds another dimension to their offense, and their running game is what it is. They had a great running game last year. It's going to carry over to this year too, and their defense is amazing. So I'm also going to go with the Bills on this one. We have the Niners coming off of that opening loss in San Francisco to the Cardinals. So we're going to have the Niners play in New York against the Jets. They are the 7-point favorite as a road favorite.
Niners on the road at the Jets. The Niners got embarrassed at home. You knew it was going to be a good game, but I didn't think Arizona was going to win that game in Santa Clara. So now the Niners have to go cross country. You know, you always hear about, you know, the difficulty of traveling west to east to play a game. But I think the Niners have just too much on both sides of the football. The Jets are going to give them a battle, but I'm not picking against the Niners on the road.
Yeah, I agree. The Niners' defense is stacked, starting at the defensive line. Their running game is amazing, as it was last year. Don't know how much I trust Jimmy Garoppolo, but
I agree.
I trust him enough to take them past the Jets, even given the Jets' only real home field advantage being that the Niners have to travel across the country.
Yep.
So I'm also taking the Niners, and the Niners are the 7-point favorite, so we're going to take the favorite on that one.
Okay.
Next, we have the Broncos at the Steelers. This is going to be a hard game to pick because we haven't seen either of these teams play yet, but the Steelers are the current 6.5-point favorite, which I find a little bit shocking given that we don't really know how either of these teams look yet.
Yeah.
Personally, I think that the Broncos offense has been rejuvenated with Melvin Gordon and Jerry Jeudy. So what do you think is going to happen here?
As long as Ben Roethlisberger is under center, I don't bet against Pittsburgh at home. He's older. He's been beat up a little bit more. But something about that Pittsburgh offense is still a much better offense when he's under center. We saw the struggles they had last year once he went down with that season-ending injury. So they play rugged defense. Pittsburgh's going to play rugged defense. I'm going to take the Steelers at home.
Okay, this is a tough one for me. I'm gonna take a risk here and go with the Broncos because I haven't seen them yet. I really like Drew Lock.
Brother Dan stepping out.
Yes, he showed us some stuff last year. the receiving core, obviously, as I mentioned, is much improved with Jerry Jeudy. And I trust in their defensive line. They still have Bradley Chubb, even though they're missing Von Miller. So I'm going to go with the Broncos here.
Okay.
Next, we have the Panthers at the Bucks. The Bucks are the 7.5-point favorite. So what do you think? What do you think is going to happen here?
Tom Brady's loaded with weapons. A couple of mistakes cost him from really being in that game down in New Orleans. You know, they're going home now. Tampa Bay is. They're going to iron out some of the problems. Bruce Arians is going to get that team on track. Tom Brady is going to get that team on track. They have just too many weapons at home. I like the Bucs at home this time.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Tom lets them lose two in a row here, especially with this being another division game. The Panthers losing to Vegas yesterday kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. So I trust Teddy Bridgewater to go on the road and pull out a victory against Tom Brady.
I'm a big fan of Matt Rhule. You know, Matt Rhule was here in Philadelphia at Temple. Big fan, great coach. But he's going to go through some growing pains as a head coach in the National Football League. This particular game is just not his time yet.
All right. So we both have the Bucks on that one. They are the 7.5-point favorite. Next, we have the Washington football team at the Cardinals in Arizona. The Cardinals coming off their big win against the Niners, and the Washington football team coming off their big win against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Cardinals currently the 7-point favorite in Arizona.
7 points. You know what? I never thought I was saying this, but right now, that Washington football team has one of the best defensive fronts in all of football. I mean, they have like 4 first-round draft picks on that defensive front. But they're going out west to face the guy who I consider the roadrunner, Kyler Murray. You saw what he did to that 49ers defense? And Washington's defense is good, but it's not the 49ers defense. And if Kyler Murray did that to them up in Washington's, up in the 49ers domain, he's going in his own backyard now. I'm going to take the 7. Arizona and 7 at home.
Yeah, I'm also taking Arizona. I love the addition of D-Hop.
Yes.
He had 14 catches yesterday and killed me in fantasy. So I'm definitely a big I'm rooting for the Cardinals this year. I think Kyler Murray is going to do some things. And I personally think the Redskins defensive scheme is kind of like a dumbed down version of the Niners scheme.
Yep.
So if they can pull it off against the 49ers, I think they can pull it off against the the Washington football team.
Yeah, bite your tongue. Don't say that. Yeah. Every time I think of Kyler Murray when I watch him on the field, all I think of is meep meep. Yep. That's all I think about. The dude's roadrunner, man. You can't catch this young man. Yep. And he's only gonna get better.
All right, and so we got the Cardinals there at a 7-point favorite. Next, we have the Chiefs at the Chargers in Los Angeles. This is going to be the Chargers' home opener in the new SoFi Stadium. The Chiefs, obviously, are the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, best quarterback in the NFL. They are the 7.5-point favorite on the road in Los Angeles.
The point spread is too low. Patrick Mahomes and that offense, they're in sync already. You know, I knew a lot of teams would come out of the gate struggling with new coaching, new direction. But we saw what this Chiefs offense looked like on a Thursday night. This team's ready to roll right now. Chiefs, 7 points, 7.5, 7 points.
Yeah, 7 points.
Chiefs in the wrong playing the Chargers. Chargers are going to be a decent team. But Tyrod Taylor, quarterback in that team, that man's stealing money. Tyrod's going to hold him back instead of moving him ahead. Chargers are going to be maybe an 8-8 team. Kansas City is a Super Bowl contender. Give me the Chiefs.
Yeah, I agree. I find it almost impossible to keep the Chiefs under 40 points with Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Even if you're a good team, I don't necessarily think of the Chargers as too much of a good team.
Right.
So I'm going to take the Chiefs by, if this could have been 15 points, 20 points, I would have taken them.
Are you playing with that Monopoly money?
So, yeah, I'm going with Mahomes. I'm going with the, like, 5-6 targets he has that are just ridiculous.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going with the Chiefs on this one as a favorite on the road. Next we have the Ravens at the Texans. Ravens Ooh. Coming off of the blowout victory against Cleveland. And the Texans coming off the loss in Kansas City.
Yep.
The Ravens are the favorite by 7 points in Houston. How do you feel
seven
about
points?
That?
7 points?
Yep.
Ooh, let's see. Lamar Jackson and that offense going up against Deshaun Watson and that offense. Man, you talk about two gazelles playing quarterback right now in the National Football League. But that was a little tricky. That's the trickiest game of the day for me. I'm a favorite of dog in this one at home, the underdog in this one at home.
Really? So you're taking the Texans to pull this one out.
Yeah, I don't see that being a that's a tough one. 7 points. Ooh, that's tough.
I don't know if I can go with you on that one. I'm gonna go with the Ravens. Lamar Jackson's gonna be too much. He has too many weapons. The Texans traded away DeAndre Hopkins, yep, and he was missed last Thursday. So I think Deshaun Watson, he's a great quarterback in my opinion, but the combination of not having a lot of time and not having a lot of targets, I think, is going to end up costing him at the end.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the Ravens on the road. Then we got the Sunday night game. We got the Patriots at the Seahawks. It's a rematch of the Super Bowl. The Seahawks are coming off of going on the road to Atlanta and winning, and the Patriots with Cam Newton beating Miami in week one. The Seahawks are currently the 4-point favorite in Seattle.
Russell Wilson and Cam Newton. That's like watching a WWE match. It's going to be a physical game. Cam did okay in the Patriots system. You can tell he had to change it for his mechanics. Belichick did. But bottom line is they won their season opener. Russell Wilson is Russell Wilson, and Seattle's difficult to beat at home. I'll take the Seahawks in that game.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Seahawks as well. Wilson came out with a statement yesterday. I feel like this might be the year for Russell Wilson, MVP-wise. I have a hard time picking against the Seahawks at home.
Yep.
And you also have the whole flying to the West Coast for the Patriots. I like what Cam Newton's been doing. I think it's going to be a really good game. But I think the Seahawks pull this one out at the end.
Okay.
And lastly, we have the Monday night game, which is going to be the New Orleans Saints at Las Vegas against the Raiders for the Raiders' home opener, the first game in Las Vegas. The Saints are currently a 5.5-point favorite on the road. How do you feel?
I don't trust Derek Carr. You know, Derek Carr is like day and night. You know, it's hot and cold. It's like the weather. You know, it's sunny one day, cloudy the next. Drew Brees and that offense is what it is, I think. And I've said it before, I think New Orleans is the most stacked team on both sides of the football in the NFC. It doesn't make a difference where they play. They play very well. They play well at home in a season opener. Definitely, I'm going to take Drew Brees and that Saints team on the road in Vegas.
I agree. I'm also going to take the Saints. I think the pickup of Emmanuel Sanders replacing Ted Ginn, it was a big pickup for them. The defense was all over the field yesterday, picking off Tom Brady twice, taking one back to the end zone. So I'm also going with the Saints, even though it's the Raiders' opening game in Las Vegas. I don't think it's going to be a good one.
All right, so there you have it, the first installment of Jumping the Gun with Brother Dan, who, by the way, is in the Witness Protection Program. We'll figure out where he is next week. But I want to thank Brother Dan. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram, correct?
Yes.
All right, Twitter and Instagram. I can't thank you enough for being here. We're going to see just how much football you know as we continue to move along each and every week. So for Brother Dan, for Lane Johnson also hopping on with us on this edition of Gun on One, I'm Derek Gunn. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Keep subscribing and downloading and streaming and whatever you do. All of you out there, stay blessed. And more importantly, always remember, be a blessing to somebody else. We'll talk to you guys next time. Gun on One is a production of D-Gun Enterprises in Patterson Square Garden. Elvin Shabazian and Wes Pendleton are the executive producers on behalf of Patterson Square Garden. Lead producer is Derek Gunn. Associate producer is John McNeil. Sound design, mixing, and mastering by Elvin Shabazian. Original music by Weatherman. For more information about the podcast, visit gunonone.com. And please, don't forget to subscribe and give us a positive rating if you're feeling the show. Thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.